Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's Just Arrive collection of swim and other sun-ready silhouettes. Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy push-up bra in on-trend hues like green, citron, and black shine. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Jenna, are you planning on hosting this summer?
Of course! We love having people over for get-togethers in the summer.
You know when people are arriving, it's getting a little crowded, and suddenly you're not sure if you have enough burgers or chips or paper towels?
Yes, it's the worst feeling, and it's actually my worst nightmare.
Happens to me every time. Well, no need to worry. Target Circle 360 is coming to the rescue with unlimited same-day delivery. It's the fastest way to get more Target.
Summer hosting will be so much easier with unlimited same-day delivery from Target.
Exactly. Take care of your guests. Target takes care of the rest. Sign up for the new Target Circle 360 today.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Not me, that is for sure. So get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. I just used the coconut oil and vitamin E shower cream, and I seriously forgot I was in my own bathroom. It smelled like a spa. Plus, it's allergen-free, so it's gentle for your skin, and it worked in as little as 3 minutes, so no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasted days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me-time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed podcast. This is Michael.
Ow!
Uh-huh.
Jamon. It's a lot of that.
This is the Kevin McHale episode.
No.
Oh, yeah.
This is season 3, episode 11, Michael, that originally aired January 31st, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There's a lot going on.
Yep. The number one song in the country was Set Fire to the Rain by Adele.
The number one movie was The Gray. Not a real movie.
I remember this one. I remember the poster in my head.
Okay. So it was a real movie then.
Some Glee news. On the 29th of January, we went to the SAG Awards because we were nominated for Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble Comedy Series, but we lost.
So we were sandwiched between two losses, correct? So the first year we lost, the second year we won, the third year we lost. Is that right?
I think we won the first year.
No, Kevin, we didn't win this year. Modern Family won.
No, the first year we went. This was not the first year.
Oh.
Right? Yeah.
That's right. You're right. So we won, and then we were on the downward spiral.
Yeah.
Got it. That's right. That's right. Okay, yep. Good call.
But you look great in these photos, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I really like this look.
Yeah, I like it a lot. The hair, the makeup, the dress, it's all working.
Thanks. Appreciate it. You know, the thing about Hollywood hair and makeup. Look, you get really glammed up for award shows like this, and it's generally pretty fun if you feel good about your look. So if you feel good about the dress that you're getting into and you're excited to go show it off, that's awesome. A lot of the time there's a lot of stress around it and there's not a lot of time. And you're like, oh, okay. And then people are like, oh, but this looks really good on you. And you're like, are you sure? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, okay. And then you get in and you're like, I should have listened to my instinct, but we were so young. And it wasn't until like I found my people that, you know, kind of got me and was like, people like to really take a risk and be like, you should do something like this editorial and looking and blah, blah, blah. And there are so many looks that I was pitched and was like, okay, let's try it. And then I get on the carpet and I'm like, never again. I just, this is not
99% of what I did.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like half my makeup never looked like me or my hair. And like nowadays, it would be so different if we were in this yes. realm, because we're very specific and we know what works and what doesn't. But yeah. finally, like, this is one of them that I was like, this is like of the 10% that I feel like I wasn't just trying to take a risk for the hell of it. Like, I was like, oh, I really like this and this feels like me. But anyway, that's. I
agree. Same for me for the outfit of this. My hair and makeup, not so much.
I love your, what do they call that?
It's I don't know what it's called. I have this little like bow tie-ish thing.
It's like shaped like an ascot, but it's not, it's like, I really like it. Okay.
I liked it a lot, but yeah, we were like experimenting in real time, like in front of cameras. And so like learning about what fits you, what complements your shape.
Exactly. And like what is you and what's not. Like what emanates your personality versus what doesn't.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Yeah. We went on so many carpets though. It's like hard to not take risks, I guess. Like you're like, whatever.
Yeah. That's how it was. I'm like, I don't care. Let's just try it. And so many times it did not work. Especially for like the, like things like Teen Choice Awards, where it was like a little sillier.
Yes.
We're like, sure, I'll wear this ridiculous thing.
Generally for my Teen Choice Award ones, they all were very like me. Whereas the very glamorous red carpets, like the big award shows, I felt like I had to step it up. And so I was doing things that didn't feel quite.
Makes sense. As,
yeah. Yeah. But
I because you have less practice with that.
It's like, so true. It's so true. And you like there's more pressure. The stakes are higher.
Oh, dear. And then you get on there and then there's just all these really famous people looking incredible.
And you're like, well. Honestly, that's the good thing. They didn't have to look at us at all.
That's true. So this episode is a monster. Mm-hmm. There are so many songs. So much so that if you've watched it recently, anyone, like the dialogue is almost being cut off so a song can start. And on the flip side, songs are like being cut off and dialogue's overlapping so you can fit in. Everything.
And there was a deleted fully shot number by the Warblers that we talked about. And it's crazy because it's so good. But so, it's gone.
So around this time, as this episode, we never thought we'd do a Michael episode. Zach Woodley, the choreographer, and I had talked about it, I think during season two. I remember he was standing outside the auditorium soundstage and he's like, do you think we're going to do a Michael episode? And I was like, I don't know. How do you feel about it? He's like, I don't think we should. He's like,
I don't even think.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, you know what? I think you're right. And up to that point, I was like, we have to do Michael. We're doing all these themed episodes now. And then season three rolled around. And when we had been talking to Ryan about, you know, like, we need to get back to doing different versions of the songs that aren't just like straight up covers. He asked Harry and I, because we were the ones talking to him about Michael, to come pitch to the writers.
Crazy.
So Harry and I were like, okay. We met in his trailer. We threw together sort of like a little PowerPoint, but we did a lot of research on YouTube and different Michael songs that we like, not trying to inform any sort of story or anything, because
we're just like, the music.
Yeah, we are not writers. We're not pitching storylines, plot lines, anything like that. But here's a selection of music and different versions that you could do. And not even saying who's going to sing what parts.
Wow.
But just presenting ideas.
Wow.
And so, and we had found, you know, covers online of people doing a cappella versions of songs. And a lot of the songs that we pitched did not make it in. However, versions... they clearly understood like what we were going for in terms of finding different versions of the songs because we had different, just like there's a cappella version of Bad. There's an a cappella version of, I don't remember what the song was now. Rock With You, I think. And so I was very relieved in the sense of, okay, we're not doing straight up covers for most of these.
Yeah, they were very versatile and well done in finding different renditions. And I really like Human Nature, even with chord playing. So, like all the guitars, I thought it was so great.
It was beautiful. So It was also, it was so weird. We're friends with all the writers and everything by this point, right? And so you go into like the writer's room on the lot, which is someplace sometimes I'd go to hang out at lunch or something, but never infringe on their work, and you're never a part of the work.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very strange. They're all sitting on the sides of this boardroom looking table looking at us. We're like, okay, so
was Ryan in there?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
I feel like you would have remembered that.
But it was, yeah, it was everybody else. Brad and Ian and everyone. It was, they were all obviously all very, very nice. And we were very much trying to make the point of, we're not trying to tell you how to do your jobs. Ryan told us to come do this. Sorry, we're here. but here are like some ideas if you want to think about this.
Well, of all the people pitching, it's like the two of you are the most kind of like humble and just musically driven and know Michael the best. So it makes sense to me. It didn't come out of nowhere. It's not like,
of course. Me going, I think both of us were like, felt really protective over like, if we're going to do this, we need to really do it right. And I think we did. I think we did do some cool things in this episode. Not all of them, but I think there are a lot of really cool versions. I also, leave it there.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts. I'm excited to hear your thoughts.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just arrived swim cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini, rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage from full to cheeky to minimal, now in this season's must-have shades and patterns. Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com. Let's talk about something we can all relate to: hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so Alfonso had the duty of directing this mammoth episode. Alfonso Gomez Rejon.
We have a special appearance by two cellos for one of the most iconic numbers that we did in this episode. And there's a lot of music.
Okay, Jenna, let's switch off. Okay, first song was Want to Be Starting Something.
Bad.
Yes. Scream.
Never Can Say Goodbye.
Human Nature.
Ben.
Smooth Criminal.
Did you pitch Ben?
Hell no.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just can't stop loving you. Just care. I had to know.
You wanted to know who to be mad at?
Yeah, exactly.
Black or White.
And the deleted I Want You Back. Now, before we get into this episode, I just want to talk about something because this is the beginning of Jenna Unhinged. It happens for this episode and it happens for the Spanish teacher. And you'll see Tina in Want to Be Starting Something and Bad. And then she disappears and nowhere to be found. And nobody says anything because the episode had already been written. We shot this in between the holiday season. So we shot the first half on the after Thanksgiving and we shot the second half when we returned. Now, as you can see, Tina didn't need to be there. There was no issue on her not actually being in any of these numbers. And that was written. So when I saw this script, it had already been a few episodes of Tina, aside from Hold On to 16, a few episodes of Tina just really not doing anything at all. I started to lose my mind a little bit. And people started to act out around this time and had started to act out around this time. Everybody, right? Not none. And I'm not going to generalize that, but I just say that because I'm not going to name names. So a lot of people started acting out. And I thought, well, if they're going to act out, then I'm really pissed because I have no storylines. Then why the F should I not start acting out and then maybe getting some storylines? And this was really bad for me mentally because maybe, Kevin, you can speak to this a little bit. We weren't getting written for. I wasn't getting written for, I felt. There are a lot of characters, new characters coming in. And Tina, they never really understood what to do with to begin with. And I feel like maybe in the later seasons when people go to New York, there's more time and room for Tina. But like earlier on, I felt very underused and I started to question my worth. I started to question my talent and if I belonged there and if I was expendable. And so, and I was made to feel that way a little bit. So it was a combination of those things that basically I became unhinged and I was acting out. I was talking back, acting in a way that I would never in my, that Jenna's character would normally not. And I talk about characters like integrity, like I would never do that again. But like, it was really bad. And so the producers at some point, I remember having going in to do the scene, I think where you become unhinged actually, or maybe it was a little bit before that. I think it was the scene where you became unhinged in the show, Artie. And I was like, I'm going to get out of this day. I want to get out of this day. So I said I wasn't coming out of my trailer. And
I don't remember this.
I started to tell our AD that I think I was starting to have panic attacks.
I remember that.
I wasn't really having a panic attack. I was so just lied. Really, really upset that day and really wanted to get out. And I think there was something else that triggered it in the beginning of the day. And I think maybe somebody else made a comment or maybe it was just me. Maybe I'm not blaming, you know what I mean? Not to blame anybody else, but there was something that I just said, I can't be here anymore. This day is getting, and these Michael days were really long. And you could come back from a break, a Christmas break, right? So imagine coming back from a break, trying to feel revived and feel refreshed and renewed to come back to your job and excited. And then you come back and you're like, this shit is the same and I'm miserable here right now. So imagine that. And then imagine being called into the producer's office and being said, we don't know what's going on with you. we can't legally say anything that we think that's going on with you, but we think you should take a vacation.
Mm.
And so they didn't ask how I was doing. They didn't ask if I needed anything. They didn't ask why.
Mm-hmm.
They just said I needed to go away. Granted, look, I was getting paid anyway.
Right.
It was a paid vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like rumors that had started around, and I'm sure you were around some of that. And there were obviously when you're not there and they're not and you're not able to tell people why you're going. Like I just went home after that, literally went home, and nobody tells you, like, you can't tell anybody this is why. The rumors start.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I was also in a relationship at the time that I had very much had a life outside of the show that not a lot of people knew about, except maybe for you, because we live together.
Yeah.
And there was like a whole other life happening for me. And so there was a time where I felt like I was out of control. And then I actually started to have panic attacks because I started to spiral that I wasn't there to defend myself and I didn't know what was being said about me. Mm-hmm. And there's a few of you guys that I had pulled aside and we went to lunch or whatever and like just talked about what was going on and my feelings about everything. And I talked to a few cast members on text and phone calls trying to explain. And some people were very supportive. Some people were actually just trying to explain to me that like that I can't act out like other people can. Because I'm not in a position of that. And so maybe I could lose my job. And so they were looking out for me. But all to say, we would live in a, we, if that happened today into 2023, 2024, it would have been a very different conversation.
I don't think it would have happened.
Correct.
In the first place.
Yes, you are correct. So it's very upsetting to watch this episode for multiple reasons. Because it takes me back to a time where I really was not in a good place with the show. We didn't have a good relationship.
Yeah.
And being treated that way and treating the show that way. You know, like taking accountability for the way I was acting and treating the show that I loved so much that way. But it's like being in a bad relationship at the time. It felt like being in that relationship was like, this was bringing out the worst in me, not the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so... anyway, I love this episode, the content of it and your performance and a lot of people's performances in this episode, but it takes me back to a very, very specific place. And it's very strange. Very, very strange.
Yeah. I can't imagine to a certain extent because
yeah.
I mean, I guess I was there.
Yeah.
But I also... what I find most striking about what you just said was that we were doing a scene and then you had the thought, I just need to get out of here. Because that's not you. Like you, especially when you're at work, you're there to work. You're giving 100%. We're going to do it. And for you to get to a point where you felt like, I'm going to get out of the work day. Like it's not a normal like rational thing to have, which means like you were at
a breaking point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you had to physically separate yourself from the situation.
Yes. I couldn't be there anymore.
Yeah.
I actually physically couldn't be there anymore.
And I think it was also a lesson for all of us. Unfortunately, in this, oh God, you were somehow always in the position of like being... guinea pig is not the right word, but like the person who got the brunt of some things on behalf of all of us from like the higher ups. Like we sent an email in like the first season or something when we had concerns about something and it was signed all of us, but it came from Jenna's email. She got in trouble because she sent the email, but it was from all of us. So there were things like that happening. And I remember being on set and people being like, crew members being like, is Jenna okay? What's happening to Jenna? I'm like, she's fine. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not as. Because
dramatic.
That ended up being the way a lot of things were dealt with.
Yes.
Meaning
yes.
they weren't dealt with. And then that person just disappeared from the episode.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that watching you sort of crack when you're not someone who ever would normally, and then of course you're acting out because we see other people act out and then they get whole episodes written about them or they get time off to go do other jobs and they're having storylines. And so then you feel, it's like this, you feel gaslit because I have to say when the term gaslight became such a huge term a couple of years ago, I thought back to many instances of watching people being gaslit
on the show,
whether it was cast to cast,
producers
to cast, cast to producers.
Totally.
There were so many instances of that. And I didn't know what I was observing. And then being able to put that word to it was pretty mind blowing for me. And I think this is one of those moments where. And I don't necessarily think there's anyone to blame because you look back and like, we didn't have the dialogue or the knowledge.
Or the time.
Or the time to really think deeply about these things and care for people. Now we do because we talk about it when we're not working and everyone knows
what therapists. Signs to look for. Everybody has a therapist.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that's totally right. That's totally right. There really isn't anybody to blame. It was just a collective effort of things. And from the... I mean, I remember even on the tour, there was some drama going on at one point. And I, again, it's not my story to tell, but there were some cast that was going to actually be sent home and multiple cast members. And it really was very minimal and it happened for like a 30 minute thought process. I think it went through like and us being like, that can't happen. You can't send them home. Like, it's just not going to that we can't do that. But it's like just the thought process of where they were at the time, the producers were at the time going like, we'll just extricate it from the issue and like not deal with it. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, oh, that's how things are handled, you know?
Well, and it makes sense in a small way because like we don't have the time or money to waste. So like, let's just remove the problem.
Right.
But then that goes to reinforce all of the things like what you were feeling that you're expendable.
And totally.
They're like, okay,
I'll
well,
get
yeah,
punished,
they can't just,
right? Instead of being asked how we are and if there's anything that we need or could help with or how can we find a solution. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but Tina disappears. And it's, I think it's an important topic that, you know, like other people I'm sure went through, we saw people crack and, you know, obviously those aren't our stories to tell, but this is our podcast, so I get to tell mine.
I mean, there were, there were several. And sometimes if you caught someone on the right day, they were understanding about things.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, a lot of the time was just like, you're crazy and ungrateful. You have to go home.
That's it. I think it was like. You guys are making so much money, like, I mean, relative,
right?
You know, and look at you and your, you know, look at your life. And so, it's a, it was a hard balance to find, and it was really, this was really the darkest time. This was my dark time of glee.
I think it's important that you talk about it for a number of reasons. And one, I know we keep referencing how like, oh, when we did the Michael episode, I keep saying like the wheels had fully fallen off. I think this story is very indicative of the time because it wasn't just you who like it was everything. And I think you were like the shining example of how everyone in every department was sort of cracking.
Awesome.
Right, like it sort of felt like oh, she's the most identifiable thing that's going on right now,
so we'll just pick that one and get rid of it for the moment and just show everybody.
Because there's a moment too where I guess we'll just talk about it now when we were shooting Black or White. Should we just talk about that now? So we were shooting Black or White. It was taking a really long time and a lot of us were sort of I think in Jenna's company, in terms of none of us were acting the most professionally because we, for whatever reason, we were all tired and had sort of had it.
It was a really hard shoot.
And like, it sounds so ungrateful and bratty, and I'm fully aware of that because some of it was. I think a lot of it was. Mm. Like, because you get used to your little bubble and everything's taken care of for us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we do have these fancy
Our
cars.
Our expectations are quite high. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In terms
so we're shooting this episode. The cameras haven't moved. We'd been shooting for 8 hours and we were all a little confused as to like, normally the number, this number is not complicated. Why is this taking so long?
Right.
Like, we have so much to do. Like, how do we speed this up? And then we decided as a group, this is also, we would never normally do this. Somebody texted Brad, somebody texted Ryan.
Oh my God.
Saying similar things of like,
what's
somebody needs to get to set because we don't know what's going on. No one's spoken to us in hours. We're doing the same thing over and over. And normally the last shot we would do is a Steadicam. Andrew would get on the stage and do all the close-ups. Like, we haven't even done that. And we've already been shooting this for 8 hours.
Oh my God. That's a really long time.
And so they show up, both of them.
Oh,
and are like, what's going on? And we explain it. I'm like, okay. Then they go talk to Alfonso in the camera department. And they come back and sort of just lay into us.
Oh no.
Because they're like, your job is not to be concerned about what the cameras are doing. Like, your job,
oh,
like, and also they're like, well, we heard your dance was sloppy and they had to call Zach in.
Oh,
and that's why it's been taking. We're
no.
like, what? And maybe it was. I don't know.
Mm.
And so there was like a full breakdown in communication.
Oh boy.
And that was the last time Ryan ever came to set until the very end of the show.
Oh my God.
He stopped coming to set.
Wow.
Because something had broken. That's what I mean. Something had broken
yes,
on so many different levels.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because
yes.
I think he was done with us. Like, you guys are just like shitty and bratty.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like, how dare you complain? Mm-hmm. And to a certain extent, I think he's right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And so I think, yeah, it was, that's what was going on underneath this
yeah,
entire episode.
This beautiful episode of Michael. Yeah. And to be fair, like on a show like Glee, like, you know, when you said like Elodie Keen came in for the first time, this is early in season one, and asked like, how do we do this? And we kind of like tell these directors, like, this is kind of how it's done. I'm sure you've heard, like, you know, and this is generally our formula because it's never been done before.
Mm-mm.
There was a sense of ownership over our house that we were like, this is how things are done. And not that we implied it in that kind of dominant way, but like, this is how it's usually done. There's the, you know, we had the structure of how we do musical numbers.
Right.
So when it's not being done like that and things are not moving and in the interest of the show, you're like, we're not going to make our day. We're going to have to come back and do this another day.
True.
Like, there was that kind of mindset that we were in, which, agree, it's not our job. Like, that is not our job. But in the way that things had been handled previously to this with other directors and things, like, this felt kind of normal. I don't know. Not justifying it, but I'm just kind of, you
it
know.
Also felt like we've done a lot of like crazy complicated numbers,
mm-hmm.
even in this episode. And this was one of the more straightforward ones.
Right. This should
and
be
so,
easy.
Yeah. Like, there mm-hmm. is a formula to it. And like, if something is more complicated, we are understanding of that. But again, our job isn't, as we were told by a producer at some point, our job was to show up on time,
know our lines
and hit our marks. And that's
about it.
Yeah.
Well, we did a lot more than that.
Leah said in 2017 on Watch What Happens Live that this episode was her least favorite to shoot because it was really hard.
Okay. Well, that tracks. All
yeah,
right.
So
see, even
it was.
Yeah, this is rough.
It was all of us. But that being said, I think this episode is very good.
There's not a lot that actually happens plot wise because it's all about Michael.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy collection. in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini, rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage from full to cheeky to minimal, now in this season's must-have shades and patterns. Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com. Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take care of some of these plot things real quick and then also talk about some of these fun facts, because the biggest things that happened were Finn is still waiting for Rachel to respond about getting engaged. Quinn gets into Yale, which is wild.
See you later, Quinn.
Like how? And then
Kurt gets into is in the finals for Nyada, and Rachel's and so waiting is Rachel. For her letter. Yep.
Yeah. And so then because Rachel feels like she's, before she found out she was a finalist, she feels like she has nothing left but Finn. So then she decides to say yes to the marriage proposal. And then she finds out she's a finalist.
And he's like, did you tell Finn?
And so that's sort of like the story.
Right.
Minus, we'll talk more about the warblers and the regionals, but yeah. And Darren. But that's not so, that doesn't really change the trajectory of a lot of these characters.
Exactly. So this was originally scheduled to premiere on January 24th, but it had been pushed because of the State of the Union. I remember that.
Yeah, I do too. Ryan and Brad had mentioned since before the second season ended, they were planning on doing a big tribute episode that they've been wanting to do since the first season, but did not reveal the name of the artist, which I think is why some of us were speculating for so long about if we were going to do a Michael episode. And I also think the line where we're all sitting in the library and talking about how great Michael is and Rachel is talking about how she didn't get it. I think that was Ryan's voice, which I think was really valuable in this way because I don't think was the biggest Michael fan and he didn't get it. It was not his thing. And so like through Rachel could voice, which I thought was also really cool to have. Like, not everybody's going to like the same thing. Let's just have a contrarian to talk about it.
Yeah.
But on December 6th, the same day Hold On 16 was airing, that featured three Jackson Family songs, Ryan announced that they had finally obtained the rights to do a Michael Jackson tribute episode.
Filming began on December 12th, 2011. And then we, both of the last two shooting days before the vacation ran a couple of hours past midnight. That was bad, was one of them. With the final night not ending until 3 a.m, which makes sense because then you don't have to turn around. You don't need the 12-hour turnaround legally or contractually. So they could work until we get it done, essentially, because we don't have to come back to work the next day. And filming had not yet completed when the 12th episode with Ricky Martin's Spanish teacher began filming on January 5th. So we were doing two episodes in parallel. And the last final Michael Jackson number was shot on January 13th. So this was over a month. So does that mean that this is the longest episode over Super Bowl, or was Super Bowl 2 months?
No, Super Bowl. I mean, they're neck and neck. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
I mean, we even started the 13th episode and we're still shooting this episode.
Brutal.
And we had moved on two episodes.
Heart. We're absolutely on heart. Insane.
Yeah.
Aye.
The Warblers number, I Want You Back, was cut for time.
Why didn't they keep this one and cut Ben?
That's the question.
Did they have to keep Ben in so they could see Blaine so he could talk about his surgery next week before he goes away? Because...
But can't you do that without a song?
It was a short scene. I think it would have been too short. It was. They really jumped into that. I don't know.
We did all kinds of weird scenes. You know, it wouldn't have been that weird if there was just like.
And Kirk, I was also thinking about in the next episode about it.
Like, could you imagine, like, people just sitting around a hospital bed and start singing Ben to you? Like, how if in real life, if it was just these kids singing Ben, I would be like, you need to go. I'm trying to.
They all have eye patches.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a question that I need to know about. And the reason why Darren was written off getting eye, or that Blaine is off getting eye injury, was that Darren could go do How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying on Broadway.
Booked and busy.
See, he was allowed to do stuff.
I was just about to say it. Yeah. There were double standards left and right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was sometimes a little hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with, honestly, like, the people who were getting allowed to do things. Because that's not on them. They got to do this and they got approval. Anyway.
I know.
Although in the beginning of the episode, Will states that they would do Michael Jackson songs at regionals. Obviously, by the end of the episode, they're like, we're not going to do Michael. Mm. And this is the last episode, last tribute episode with Ryan as the official writer on the script, which makes sense. Also, Kurt was seen in Will's Spanish class in this episode, but Kurt takes French.
Mm.
And grilled cheeses, he was taking French. So.
I will say, I take it back, though, because I was allowed to go do Gaga's music video. So I take that back. That's rude.
That's true.
I was allowed to go do that. It wasn't a long run, but it was it's like 2 days off. But it
Lady Gaga personally called Ryan Murphy, though.
Well, that's the only way I was to do it. You're right. There's no way I would have been like, hey, Ryan, can I do a Lady Gaga music video? And him be like, yeah, Jenna, sure. You're acting like a crazy person, but go ahead. Go on.
What I mean. You literally had to have Gaga personally call to get your approval to get you to do something. But also, it's not normal to be able to do other jobs while you're doing your job. Like,
it's
what?
Also, yeah. It's just not what happens, but because the show was so massive and we were so many people there, everybody wanted to do something. And anyway, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had there was every single summer for the first like 4 years, there was a movie that I was like booked to do, but couldn't end up doing because the schedule ended up
the tour and like, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wait, did we talk about your performance in Scream? Okay, so this inspired several reviewers to write of their regret that Kevin could not dance more often on the show. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Other reviewers called him a sorely underused Glee resource. I've heard that before. And called the number the best dance moment of the episode. Agreed. Another reviewer said this number is evidence of Artie only a junior. There is life in New Directions after McKinley's current senior graduate. And they are correct. That's there right. is life after.
Here we are.
Okay. So let's talk about the warblers, Kevin, because that's mainly the
Treble Tones
episode.
Are back. They're back in the Glee Club. And so we decide that we're going to do Michael Jackson. And then, you know, want to be starting something happens. And we all get to like wear those different looks of Michael, which was fun.
Can you rate each number done for this? Like what you would give it each
on a
number
scale of 1 to 10
this episode? A, B, C, D.
I'd give this number a B.
Okay. Just curious. I don't know which ones you're going to say are well done or not.
B plus maybe. I think this is fine. It was very Glee. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that we could pay homage to all the different looks and things like that. And the dancing in the hallway was nice. Cool. You know?
That was good. That was really fun.
And I also think over time too, if you look, shooting dance is really hard. And Alfonso is such an incredible cinematographer. Yeah, like his vision for things. And I think with each episode, he gets better and better and more creative with shooting dance. And so I think a lot of these things are really beautifully done.
Agreed.
So there's a great scene in the lima bean, which I loved, Sebastian shows up. It's like he's always here. It's very good.
Funny. Kurt's
and
line.
Come to find out,
does he live here?
Blaine has given up the secret to Sebastian, who's now the captain somehow of the Warblers, that we New Directions were planning on doing Michael Jackson, so the Warblers are going to do Michael Jackson, and so starts all this feud, and we get our first Santana and Sebastian fight. And
this is wildly inappropriate.
Insanely inappropriate. And also Santana looks like she doesn't lose. No one can keep up with her, and she's taken aback.
She's found her match.
Like the ease at which Sebastian can just throw out racist comments is pretty incredible.
Oh my God. So we we're going to do, we can't do Michael at regionals now. We can't do it because Warblers are going to do it. But Will's brilliant assignment for the week is what would Michael Jackson do?
I wonder where he got that idea. And I also instead of worrying about the set list for regionals, I want to talk about getting you in the right headspace for regionals. Like, we should be worrying about the set list.
Maybe he should be worrying about the set list.
For once.
we're too busy working on his proposal to Emma.
Oh, God.
A lot of proposals. Okay. Blaine's idea, though, is to take it to the streets and off to the Paramount parking lot we go. We shot this in the middle of the night. We didn't have any choreography for it. Well, we did have choreography. We just didn't know it. So Zach and Brooke, who did this whole episode, like they did every other episode, had to do an enormous amount of Michael Jackson numbers.
And we knew because we were so busy shooting, you couldn't get all of us into rehearsal at the same time. So some of us knew different parts of this going into it, but we didn't know where it was going to be staged. How it was going to be used.
Right. Until
and then some of the people didn't know any of it. And so we got in there.
Right.
The sun was still up.
Right.
We got in there post lunch, I believe. We had a late lunch.
Yes.
This was the last number we shot, I think, before Christmas break.
That's correct. Because then I came back in Christmas break for one scene. And so, yes, this was the last number. And this was the one that we were into 3 a.m., I think. And ironically, this looks like a very Sharks and Jets West Side Story-esque, which, Grant was obviously in West Side Story recently. And it's very like,
I liked it. I remember I liked this much more than I remember it actually looking totally. Like I don't.
Same. What do you give this one?
I give this one an A minus. Right?
Wow. Okay.
I think that's it's good. Good. I think that's it's. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I
agree.
I like how it was. Yeah, it does. The job. And I think it's being mm-hmm. able to take myself away from like the. Yeah.
A shitstorm.
Objectively, I think mm-hmm. it's pretty good.
And that was Grant's first slushy mm-hmm. throw into Blaine's face, which was meant for Kurt, but had rock salt in it, which we'll find out later.
Well, speaking of which, so we're all talking about Blaine is in the hospital, has to get surgery. Everyone's pissed off. Mm-hmm. And then Will is like, I don't condone violence. We can't retaliate. Blah, 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 blah.
You know, Artie, he says something correct this time.
Yeah.
He does.
Artie gets fired up and gets really mad. I hated filming this.
Really? I love this scene for you.
I felt so awkward. I don't know. I think there's something about like filming it where the tension has to rise enough for like Artie to pop off like that.
Oh, I see.
And so it always felt like I was trying to make it happen. And I think it was also maybe just my possible lack of skill at the time, where it didn't feel right. Nothing felt right. And then it felt like out of nowhere, I'm just like blowing up. Mm. And then everybody's quiet. And I felt really awkward for some reason being in front of all of you. Because like you and I didn't have moments like this really.
Yeah.
So I wasn't used to it. And then here I am. I'm like, is this right?
Right.
Is this what Artie would say? Is this
right?
Like, am I doing this correct? I didn't feel like I was meeting the moment as well Got as I it. Wanted well,
it,
to.
It cut it, it. You did, and it came out great. I thought it really worked, and it was a really good segue into the best number of the episode. Scream
budget.
Another dream moment for Artie. Did you know that you were gonna dance in this episode, or when did you find out?
No, and we did not pitch Scream. I did not pitch me dancing. Wow. For the record.
Cool.
But
well, Ryan knows how much you love Michael too. So
yeah.
He loved to do that for people. He loved to give people
yes.
what they want, the people what they want.
It was I felt really special to be able to do that with Harry. It was also terrifying because then I was going to have to dance next to Harry. Like, watch Harry. That's how it's supposed to look.
No,
some of these shots, I'm literally leaning over because I'm falling.
No, you did great.
But it was so much fun. I mean, we were shooting that all day on one of our smaller stages, and people kept coming in to watch, and it was just a blast. Like, I hadn't made a proper music video since my old boy band days.
Yeah, what was that day like? Tell me about it.
It felt just like that. It was just the music video.
And how many rooms did you guys shoot in? Because there were three different, it looks like there were three different sets, right? Like the big room, the tunnel, and then there's yes. one other one, like the walkway or whatever. Were they different sets, or did they reset it?
The catwalk was in the same place as like the bigger room. Mm-hmm. They just put in the catwalk. And then, yeah, that tunnel looking thing with the door coming up, that was obviously one. And then there was a little setup of us like where we're holding our headphones and like screaming. That was the first thing we did that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a gigantic green screen where we did like us floating, and we did all the stuff of us where they placed us on a ceiling and stuff like that. We did all that on a huge green screen.
Were you on harnesses? Were you floating?
No, we were laying down basically on this.
On a box or something?
On a box. Yep. Shot from above.
I was like, did they bring in harnesses? Because that looked awesome.
Yeah. I was actually very worried about how all the CG was going to look. Because it's a TV show. Like, I mean, the show's already expensive. How much can they really, time and money can they dedicate
to this? Ryan.
But I was very pleasantly surprised.
It's not going up if it's crap.
We also, because of the Michael Jackson estate, couldn't do certain things. We had to stay below a certain percentage of matching, like shot for shot, or doing the same movements, making the song sound the same. So things legally had to be different enough. And I remember us talking about it because there were obviously things in the actual music video that Harry and I had talked about doing in it. And so we just sort of like there's a moment where I'm sitting sort of like meditating ish, or it's not exactly the same. So I was like, maybe I can get away with this if I change how I'm sitting a little bit and just like threw it in, hoping things like that would make it in. But I was very, very proud of that.
It looks awesome. It looks really, really cool. It's my favorite number of the episode and for multiple reasons. But I was excited for you to do another dance number and also the two of you. It's just so great. And it's like, it's different. It's right. It's actually a music video versus the rest of them. Yeah, it felt
very separate.
Yeah, but it totally worked. And it actually gave like the episode some dynamic and like really, you know, kind of revved me up a little bit for the rest of it. I was like, okay, here we go. So
I do this personally. Good. I was very excited to see what we're going to be wearing because in the actual music video, they have those crazy, like puffy, pointy shirts on and things.
I know. And they did a really great job. Yeah. It's very cool. Were they those like plastic or like silicone puffs or what?
No, they were, I believe it was soft. It was almost like,
cotton.
Like, yeah, it was like those 90s things that like were popular for a little bit.
Shoulder pad?
No, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like soundproofing material, but thinner.
Yes. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
And I loved like them making Harry look like Janet a little bit, like the spiky hair and the eyeliner and stuff.
It's so good.
Eyeshadow.
You guys look dope. Great job.
I loved it. It was very
great job. You should be very proud of that.
I am proud of that one.
Good. I give that one an A+.
I do too.
And then Quinn gets into Yale.
Quinn gets into Yale. I love this scene though. The scene between Rachel and Quinn when Rachel asks for advice.
Diana's best work. Love it.
Yeah.
It was really good. And it's kind of true. Like watching this back now, you're like, girl, you guys are 18, not even 18 years old. But it's so right. Like you think the person you're with in high school, and some people are in high school, like that's it. They're the one. Like you think your life's over after high school. Whereas Quinn was actually the voice of reason being like, you have so much ahead, like look to it, because kids need to hear that a little bit. Like everything feels like the end of the world in high school. And so I wish I had kind of more perspective on what was to come versus like how much energy I put into everything there. And that's not like a bad thing, right? But like you just, the stakes are so high. The stakes are just so high.
I thought her, after she does her number, which I think was also so sweet.
I mean, beautiful.
And great. her speech made me feel things because it did give me that whole perspective of when you're in high school. It's the first time I've actually really felt that like graduation is coming. And when you're in high school, all of these things have been made like such a big deal on the show. All these high school things is how high school feels a lot of the time in real life. And to be able to put that in perspective, we're like, you guys are so young and your whole life hasn't even started yet. Right. And you already feel like you've lived it.
Right. It's so true. Yeah.
So I really liked like in between all these crazy numbers and the spectacle of the episode, you have some Quinn wisdom. It was very nice and grounding.
I mean, and granted, she did have a baby already, so.
That's right. Yeah, she's lived.
She has quite lived.
Yeah,
quite
she's the worldly one.
Oh, God. Okay. So Quinn's beautiful number. And then Human Nature, which, my goodness. How cute are they?
Why do they have so much chemistry?
I know. And like just the both of them on that song. I love that song. It's one of my favorite Michael songs. And then the two of them doing it with the guitars. It was just a perfect harmony of all the things aligning at once. It was really, really well done.
That number was exactly what things like Harry and I had talked about.
Right.
Or it is a different enough version. You're not trying to be Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits them so well. And it was just
really beautiful.
Amber sounds like a freak on that song.
She sounds a freak on all songs. But like to hear her sing a Michael song was really.
And just those little runs that she's adding. I'm like, what?
Oh, butter.
Get out of here.
Butter.
And they sound so nice together because their tones are so different.
They do. Butter.
Oh, man. Loved it. And then Amber or Mercedes cheats on her man.
She does.
But I'm not even mad at it.
Oh, no. We don't. Yeah. Sorry.
There's been worse done on the show.
Yeah. We need our Sam and Mercedes together. It's very cute. It's so cute.
I want to say I was very happy to see some more Michael Malley. Some Bert and Kurt, that sweet Kurt getting his acceptance or acceptance-ish letter.
He's like, you won. Hey, you won. Oh, God, they get me every time. They get me every time.
The Kurt had a lot of like fiery, funny stuff this episode. The scene with Kurt and Santana, and Kurt's like plotting all the way he's going to take revenge on Sebastian. And Santana's the voice of reason for once.
I know. Well, it's good like, motivation. No, she's like, I need to.
Yeah. Like, I got to make it out of here and we can't get in trouble. So she plots and has one of the most iconic performances in Glee history.
It's funny to hear Grant talk about it as one of the least rehearsed scenes that they've ever done. And I get what he's saying behind it, because like, I know those numbers that, but that's all them. Then that's like a testament to Naya and Grant and the talents they are, that were given kind of this like playing field and this map to like go like just cat and mouse it, get closer and closer until the end. And then basically like they had like free reign. And I like those numbers because if you know your character well enough, you know what you want, like you just let people go. And the two of them obviously are, you need no direction.
Yeah.
And then like the two cellos also watching them go literally like fiercely go at each other. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. It was such a great number.
I loved Naya starting like right where they are. And it was sort of like, come and get me.
Totally.
And then there's I thought the simple things, like how that room looked, the chairs looking how that, you know, how they were organized in a circle. It just looked so beautiful. And it was different than what we would normally see, which is also just refreshing.
Nice. Yes.
Her showing up in that like fedora and stuff is crazy, but hilarious.
And kudos to Andrew Mitchell for that one.
Yes.
The Steadicam operator.
Weaving through those chairs? Mm-mm.
Oh, man. And then probably Corey behind him moving the chairs.
Yeah.
Our crew is amazing.
Yeah.
You skipped over Ben. You just skipped over it. Wait, you have to rate Smooth Criminal.
A.
Rate Human Nature.
A minus.
Yeah. Okay. And then Ben happens and we've already covered it. Rate it.
F.
Not an Asian F. F. Oh, and Never Can Say Goodbye.
Yeah. I'd give that a B plus.
I give it a B plus plus.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Yeah.
I think it's sweet.
I think it's sweet. We just can't give everything an A. Okay.
I'm being so gentle. Oh, so Rachel and Finn stay back, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to like confront the Warblers. Mm-hmm. And Finn is like, we'll meet you there. I have a full number plan. Don't worry about it. And launches into, I just can't stop loving you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think they both sound incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't really remember this number that well. Probably because we weren't there.
I think they sound great. I'm like, I could have done without this one.
I do think it fit.
Well, they needed it for the storyline, but
it fit their storyline really well.
I don't know.
I know.
Here's the thing. I think the thing was, it felt like there were all these really cool numbers that we had never seen done before. We saw Smooth Criminal in a different, you know, like with the circle, you know, kind of cat and mouse thing. We saw your guys's music video. We saw Sam with the guitar and Mercedes, who we don't see a lot. And so it felt a little too Rachel and Finn-esque to me. That was like, could have done something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say it was a great number and it moved the plot along. So like, you know, I'm not going to
improve
on it, but
an acting number. They had to give Brooke and Zach a break.
It's true. And it was sweet. They were just very sweet and it was very emotional.
What do you give it? What do you rate this?
I give this like a B minus.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Okay.
But they sound very good.
Very good.
Yeah, and like, good. I like hearing Leah up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just popping and doing those super high notes real quick.
Yeah, that's like,
it's very satisfying.
What's the song she does in Journey when they do? Faithfully. Oh my God.
She sounds good up there. It probably is not easy, but.
No, she sounds very good up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Rachel says yes, and they're going to get
wild.
Engaged.
Wild.
They are engaged. And then you have Black and White, which we.
I would just like to publicly state, I also don't think I should have done the rap.
There was nobody else to do it, Kevin. There's nobody else to do it. It's
seeing me saying the line, or have somebody else do, I'm not going to spend my life being a color. That doesn't sit right with me.
Well,
there was just, it was a really, my biggest concern for the Michael episode was, did we have the right people for the job?
Right. I get that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's why the different versions helped.
Yeah. So you had to do the different versions.
Yeah. For sure.
Then that was the impetus of like, if we're going to just like cut and paste here,
it's not going to like, work.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Because none of us can sing like that.
Right. Like, well, nobody can.
Well, Amber's the only one who I think had like the full capability of like range and pocket to sing like a straight up Michael song, obviously. But the rest of us, not so much.
But you have it. You have it, Kevin. You have it.
No, but not.
You have it. You can
fake it.
Okay. Okay.
Oh my God. But I do have to say the memes that have come out of us, our faces
Michael.
Warping into each other.
It's
are great and terrifying.
Yeah, really terrifying. What would you rate this number, Black and White?
B. It's fine.
And we take the higher road and we let Sebastian know that we have him on tape, but we don't, you know, Santana had wore it under her boob and, you know, it didn't, we're not going to use it and we're not going to do Michael and we're not going to tell on him because we want a fair game. So I don't agree with that, but I see why.
No, enough with us being the bigger, when they go low, we go low. Stop it. Cut it out. Sebastian is a terrible person.
Cut it out. He did do terrible things, and I don't think that it was right.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini, rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage from full to cheeky to minimal, now in this season's must-have shades and patterns. Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com. Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do some tardy takes, cringe moments. Sebastian's comments to Santana at the top of this episode were alarming.
Yeah, I would say that coupled with, I feel like when students get injured at the school, like Kurt was getting physically harassed for years, it seemed like.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's everybody else is getting in trouble when or not getting, like, it was felt like it was not, there's not an equal scale here.
Well, welcome to Glee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Best dance move. Scream.
Yeah, that's right.
Song. Ooh. Scream. And Smooth.
I would say Smooth Criminal. But I am also partial to Human Nature. I love Human Nature.
Oh, I know. That's a close third. Close third. Performance by a prop.
The entire Scream set?
Totally. The underboob tape recorder from Radio Shack.
That's very good.
Very funny. Best line.
So that scene where Santana and Kurt are talking about how they can get revenge. And Santana goes, well, today's your lucky day because Auntie Snicks just arrived on the Bitchtown Express. Now, my suggestion is that we drag him bound and gagged to a tattoo parlor for a tramp stamp that reads, tips appreciated or congratulations, you're my 1,000th customer.
So funny. So funny.
It's so good.
So much.
There was a lot of good, like, random quotes in this episode, though.
Yes, there were. Kurt had some good ones. Does he live here?
Oh my God. Yeah. Can we talk about that? Kurt does say, I take a lot of crap from a lot of people, but I refuse to take it from Sebastian, the criminal chipmunk.
Stop. That's really funny.
Poor Grant.
I know. He really got it. I mean, we all did. Let's be real. But
yeah, it's a rite of passage.
It is. You didn't really do Glee until they made fun of you for real
that's
things.
That's true. Yeah.
Performance MVP, Kevin McCain.
I don't know.
Yes, Kevin, take it. You were in a whole episode. You sang on almost every song.
Okay.
Just take it. It was great. You did a great job in this episode.
Thank you very much.
God, it's like pulling teeth with you.
I know. So, shit we found on the TikTok. Her name is Demi DeVito.
Oh my God.
It's very good. Did an entire scene basically playing a range of characters from like Rachel, Will, Emma, Quinn, Mercedes, Finn with current songs and how they'd be used in the show. And it is so like the start of the scene with the song, it is so accurate.
So if you watch it, you can
visualize the entire scene. You know exactly how right she is.
So funny. Very good.
It's so accurate.
Very good.
Someone said, who's going to tell me Glee had a new season? Exactly. It does make me jealous, though, because, well, Will doing water is horrifying and absolutely what would have happened. But
no, that's exactly, it's like Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah. Like what?
Wow.
I just think this is brilliant. Thanks, people, for being creative and funny and tagging us in these things. Because what?
What?
So good.
No, these are really, really good.
So good.
Come back next week because we have a very special guest with us to do a recap. I don't think we've had a guest to recap with us yet. We have Vanessa Lungies with us, and she's going to recap the Spanish teacher. So come back and let's talk all things Ricky Martin, because I can't wait to hear about your experience from this episode.
Hot, 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 hot. Jenna, thanks for opening up about this time in your life.
My dark times of glee.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we had to watch this episode.
It's fine. I come out of the hole and I come out better, bigger and better than ever. So don't worry.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Now, we said when people acted out, they got episodes. Did you get an episode out of this?
Stay tuned. In a few short episodes, Tina's going to sing a big Celine Dion song. She's going to have a whole episode where she falls in a fountain. It is glorious. So let me tell you, act out, get an episode.
The squeaky wheel, Jenna, that was the thing. I didn't know the phrase, the squeaky wheel. What is it? Gets the oil or whatever?
Yeah, something like
Until I worked on Glee, because...
Oh, yeah.
The bad behavior was rewarded.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we've learned and we've grown.
We have.
But Ryan talked about this. You know, like we all would have done things differently. We were all trying to figure it out on every level.
It's so true. It is really so true. There's nobody to blame. It was just a collective learning effort that, again, I wish I hadn't gone through it. I wish I didn't have to go through it, but I'm okay.
Yeah, you got a Celine song out of it.
Each one of my best numbers. PTO. It's so true. I was like, how's it going over there?
You're also not the first person to get punished and get PTO. And I started to lose my mind. I'm like, well, should I do something?
May as well.
No.
There was a point, though, where you're like, am I coming back? Are they going to bring me back?
Yeah.
Gary. Okay. Well, come back next week and we'll find out if Tina comes back.
And that's what you really missed. Thanks for listening, and follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Miss Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.